Amen. All right. Good morning, guys. How are we doing? Good. All right. That was a little better than what Derek got. So thank you. Let me just tell you that it blesses my soul to be in a room with men that are disciplining their bodies to be up early on a Thursday morning to get to grow in the disciplines and to become more fully devoted followers of Christ. So thank you for being here. It really does. It spurs me on, and I'm encouraged that you are here. As Derek said, the last couple weeks we have set up the spiritual disciplines in the fall, and today we're going to start diving in, and the rest of the time, the rest of our weeks, we're going to start diving into specific spiritual disciplines. And so, yes, we are talking about scripture reading today. We're talking about Bible study. And I know that sometimes just those words alone, and we already begin to feel defeated and deficient. We already start to feel ourselves going, I don't measure up in that area. I already can think about the things that I'm not doing right now. And look, my goal today is not to add to that burden. What I want to do today is elevate the Word of God in all of our minds, in all of our eyes, so that we might long to dwell richly in this book. I don't want to make you feel guilty in such a way that you just throw another 20 minutes at this throughout the course of the week. I want you to long to linger in this book. I want us all to do that. And so that's my hope and desire for this morning. Now, just to dispel any notions that you think that I'm some Bible scholar or published theologian, let me just dispel that right now. I am none of those things. In fact, I would say the irony is pretty rich that I'm the guy up here talking today. Because frankly, if you would just go back in the calendar 2 years, you would have found a man that hadn't spent any meaningful time studying God's word for at least 7 years, if not a lot longer. You would have found a man that was dead on the inside and frankly would have been okay on certain days if I were dead on the outside. You see, if you would have rolled back the clock to September 29th, just 2 years ago, 2014, if you would have been able to know what I wasn't sharing with anyone, here's what you would have known. You would have known that I was a white-collar criminal, that I had been stealing money from my company for the past 7 years. And not just a little bit, but six figures worth of embezzled funds. And if you would have known me on that day, you would have known that I hated who I was and I hated the legacy that I was writing. And so I will come back to my story. If you're wondering what happened there, I will come back to that. But that word legacy, I want to stay there just for a second because I think it's a word that resonates with us. I think it's a word for some of us, if we're being honest, it haunts us a little bit. Because at the end of our days, we know that we want to leave a legacy. That's what we want. We want to be husbands that honor our wives. We want to be fathers where children rise up and say, thank you that I had a great father. We want these things in our lives. And I think if we're being honest with each other, if we were to chat and just say, hey, at the end of my days, I'll admit, I don't care about the size of my bank account or the list of my business accomplishments. At the end of my days, I want to be salt and light. I want to be a city on a hill. I want to have made a lasting impression in this world. And I think if we're being real with each other, at the end of your days, you won't care about how well you read stock charts and sports box scores. You'll care about how well you read this book and the wisdom that poured out of your life because of it. And so why am I talking so much about legacy on the day we're talking about the discipline of Bible study? It's because I am convinced that the two go hand in hand. There is a strong correlation. You want to leave a legacy. My plea to you today is it begins by reading this book. Derek used the phrase this past week, from discipline comes delight. I just gave away my line. Today I want to talk about from discipline comes a destiny. And so we read God's word and there's something that begins to transform and happen in us. And so The three things I want to talk about is God is passionately pleading with us that we might read his book and then therefore leave a legacy. He's telling us about a persistent path to it. And if you want to do either of those things, you need to have a practical plan. And so let's dive in. I'm going to start with Psalm 1, 1 through 3. It's on the back of your notebooks, actually, which just says, "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord and the word of God. And on this word he meditates both day and night. And when he does so, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which will yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither. And all he does, he will prosper." And I love this imagery of a tree that the psalmist is kicking off his 150 psalms worth of. This idea of a tree, we just have a beautiful picture. You can almost picture this tree, right? It's big, it's tall, it's mighty. It's got deep roots, green leaves, fruit that nourishes men's lives that come up to it. There's a big shaded area, refuge from the heat, for strangers and wanderers. And I think it's a picture of what we long for as men. We want the fruit of our lives to nourish those around us. We want to be a place of refuge in a time of need. And this sentiment is actually all throughout Scripture. Joshua 1:8 has a very similar message, right? "Do not let this book of the law depart from your lips, but meditate on it both day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then what happens? Your ways will be made prosperous. Then you will find success." And this isn't about some financial prosperity. This is about a prospering of the soul. And there's a little formula in this passage of Joshua 1:8 that God is pleading with us. You want to leave a legacy, he is saying, first you've got to learn it. You've got to meditate on my word both day and night. And then you need to do what it says. So you have to learn the God's word first. Then you have to practice it. You have to live God's word. And when you do those, learn and live, you begin to leave a legacy. And really, this sentiment is all throughout Scripture. I had a hard time picking just what verses I wanted to use. In the end, I had to throw up a slide of just all the verses that I could have pulled from. And frankly, this isn't the full list, because there's actually one very notable exception. And I'll preface it with this. So going back to my story, I told you I hated the legacy that I was writing. I was nowhere close to being a Psalm 1 tree that gave life. If I were anything, I was a weed that was choking the life out around me. I was stealing resources from those around me. And I hated that legacy. And so God, in his kindness, Christ, pushed me to a point of confession. And on January 19th, 2015, I laid down that ugly legacy and allowed God to pick up the pen and begin writing a new legacy for me. As you can imagine, it was not an easy day for many people. I grabbed my community group. I told my wife things she didn't know about for the past 7 years. And I told one of my best friends, who I had been stealing money from, things that he had no idea was coming. It was a hard, difficult day. But it was a beautiful one, too. 620 days ago, a new legacy began to be written. And just a few days later, the date of January 19th, 2015, began to be very significant to me. This idea of 1-19-15. And so at some point, just a few days into it, I began wondering, I wonder what Psalm 119:15 says. And I started to get chills. I went walking up for my Bible, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it says something like, though you were an idiot for 7 years, one day you'll become a mighty warrior for God, or something like that. And I went scrambling. And if any of y'all know what Psalm 119 is about, it's 176 verses, right, about what? The Word of God. And so I flipped to Psalm 119:15, and it just simply says this: I will meditate on your precepts. I will regard your ways. words of life for a white-collar criminal. God basically whispering to me, hey, you left my path a long time ago, and look what it produced. Come back. And you come back by you read my word, you meditate on my precepts, and then you regard them. You regard my ways. Then you live it out. You practice it. And then we can get to writing a legacy. You learn plus live equals leave a legacy. From discipline comes a destiny. So God's pleading with us, but he's also pointing us to a persistent path. In the most important areas of life, you can't cram, right? We know this. Like if I wanted to get six-pack abs, I'm not getting that with 3 hours at the gym this afternoon, right? Not with the state of these guys right now. There's work to be done here over a long period of time, daily work, if I want that. And the same, too, is how we study God's word. We're not looking to have a good weekend in studying God's word, but we're trying to do what Psalm 1, Joshua 1, 8 talks about. We need to meditate on his law both day and night. It's a daily deposit that we're trying to make. Just one day at a time. Why do I count my days? It's not just what I've been sober from. It's what I've been running towards. And I've been running towards God's word for the last 620 days. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's just a daily deposit, one day at a time. For some of you, you go, hey, I need a better formula than that. I've wasted decades. And I need something that moves a little faster than a day at a time. And I'll just say there's no shortcuts to studying God's word. But know that I too have wasted decades. I've wasted 3.5 to be specific. And all that I know to do is be faithful moving forward with today and the next day and the next day, one day at a time. And then as we do that, something does happen. With our daily obedience, there's a multiplying that God does in our hearts. And the word of God begins to be a summative process, and all of a sudden our mind starts to awaken to different connections. It's like we're just the boy with a basket of fishes and loaves, and yet we come, we bring that, and we trust that God will multiply. He will compound the work that we are doing. It is a persistent path. But we serve a God that has turned tax collectors into disciples. He has turned terrorists into authors of this book. He has a way of restoring wasted years. He has a way of redeeming the years that the locusts have eaten. And so get back on the persistent path. And the way you do that is God pleads with us and he points us to the path. Legacies aren't built overnight. They aren't built without plans. Same too with studying God's word. You need a practical plan. And so what is my plan? Look, it's one of the things we're going to do during the next few weeks is we want to put people up here that give us just some practical ideas of what the spiritual disciplines look in our lives. And it's not to make you feel guilty that you don't do that. It's not to overwhelm you with ideas. It's just to give you something. And so what I'm about to share, if it benefits you, praise God, use whatever you can. But so my plan, one of the main things I do is I journal my time in God's word. I have my Bible open. I have my journal open. I have a commentary on my iPad open. I use Matthew Henry's commentary. There's lots of good ideas, good commentaries out there. And then I have 14 different pens. So you're already going, I'm overwhelmed, I'm out, and that's okay. Bear with me just a little bit longer. And so, yeah, there's my setup. And also, evidently, an empty cup of coffee because I want, it's okay to have coffee at 6 a.m, guys. And so why do I journal? It's because my goal is not to blow through God's word. I want to linger deeply in it. I want it to dwell richly in me. And I'm convinced that God is trying to fill us up each morning so that we can be poured out throughout the day. And sometimes he's filling us up today in preparation for something 3 months from now. And so I'm not trying to be just a consumer of the word. I want to be a conduit for it. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 10:27, He says, what I tell you in the dark, you take to the light. What is whispered in your ear, you shout it from the rooftops. And so my translation for me, when I wake up at 6 a.m, God is whispering words to my heart that I better be ready over the coffee table at 8 a.m. These words that he's telling me at the kitchen table, I better be ready to take them to my colleagues at lunch, at noon, and then I better be faithful at the dinner table to encourage my family with what God is teaching me. I want to be a conduit of God's word, not a consumer, a river, not a reservoir. And so that's why I journal. This isn't for some fancy presentation. But so how do I do it? Why do I have 14 pens, you're wondering? That makes no sense. Well, I use a color coding system. So here's my system. As you can see, green is God's promises, warnings, and then God's character, different colors for different themes. And if you're wondering, in the last 620 days, my plan has moved along. It's shifted. One of the ways that the idea of God's promises and warnings began is after I confessed on the 19th of January, I went before my company and told them on the 20th, got let go as I should have, and then I sat down at my table on the 21st early in the morning with nowhere to go afterwards, and so I started diving into God's word. I turned to the proverb of the day, Proverbs 21. I'm 6 verses in, and it says this: the acquisition of treasure by a deceitful tongue is fleeting vapor. It's the pursuit of death. Okay, I tested that warning. You have my attention, God. And so I began underlining in my Bible that day promises and warnings of what it means to leave a legacy. I don't want to leave a legacy anymore of stealing other people's treasures. I don't want that legacy. I want the legacy that the promises of Scripture talk about. Blessed is the man who gives attention to my word, Proverbs 16:20. That's the promise that I want to start going with. And so I started filling out green promises, green God's warnings, God's promises. When you've done what I've done, when you're a white-collar criminal, you identify a lot with Psalm 51. Verse 17 just says, a broken and a contrite heart the Lord cannot deny. This idea of the Lord has never rejected a repentant prodigal crossed my mind, and I just praised God for that verse. That became a character. I'm so thankful God's character is he never has rejected a repentant prodigal. That became my purple, and so forth and so on. God's men, I'm just, hey, what are traits of Paul that left a legacy? What are traits of Moses and Joseph? And I'm underlining those in green and going, I want to imitate that. And so there's my Bible, just to get a picture of it. I'm underlining my Bible with a corresponding color. What I'm not doing is Googling what are the 25 verses on humility and then just quickly turning my Bible into a rainbow. I'm not doing that. I'm interacting with the text each morning as God speaks to me through different themes. And these themes are very personal to me. That last one, my compelling future, that sentiment came from a couple months after I confessed. I went back to my company and began faithfully logging all that I had taken. I did an audit of myself. It took me a week to do. I went through years of bank statements. And I remember writing home. That audit is 44 pages. And I remember writing home with it in my passenger seat, and it just felt heavy, as it should. It was ugly. It was ugly just in the amount of paper and how long it took, all those things. And I felt burdened by it. And a couple days later, God's word, as it often does, because it is living and active, I roll into Ezekiel 33 in verses 15 and 16, says, if a wicked man restores a pledge, if he pays back that which he has stolen, all right, I'm listening. If he walks by my statutes, which ensure life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Verse 16 says, he has practiced justice and righteousness. None of his sins will be remembered. He shall surely live. And I go, that's my legacy. I want to live like that. And so I started something that day of just my compelling legacy of going, this is what I'm going to do. This is daily the way I'm going to live, and trust that God will multiply my legacy. I journal similarly as God's telling me what to do. I write in different pen colors. I write in a corresponding pen color. At the end of the day, I'll put a tag at the top. I haven't done it in this picture, but I will take that tag and then move it to my table of contents. And then at any moment, I can just go back and see where I was during a certain period of time or during a different book, different chapter. And then the other thing I've done is as I've filled up some journals, I've put a label on the spine so that I can just quickly grab what I want to go find. Look, I'm not doing this because this is going to be the next Bible commentary. It's not. It is nourishment for me, and it's a reminder of all that God's teaching me. At any moment, I can go back and look at it. It's there for me. And then one of my favorite things that I do is I take some of the verses that speak the most to me of those promises, warnings, godly men traits, and I turn them into little pocket notebooks. And if I'm struggling with needing to be reminded of God's promises, I'll grab them, I'll throw it in my pocket, and then I'll just look at them two or three times during the day. And I look, use apps on your phone all day long, but let me also encourage you to write. There's something that happens when you put pen to paper. There's something about your brain being connected to your hand. It helps you remember. You value it more too, I think. I value these things. And my favorite one, my compelling future, it's the one that's most beat up. It's in my pocket at all time. At any moment when I start to hear the voice of the enemy or if I start to puff myself up, I pull this thing out and it's with me at all times. So, studying God's word. There's a lot I could have talked about today, but really I just wanted to plea with you. I wanted to remind us of the persistent path, that it's a daily process. This isn't something you cram for. It's a lifetime. And then you need to have a practical plan. Make one for yourself. But let me be really clear about my story. This book did not save me. Jesus Christ saved me. Amen? But Jesus, who saved me, also wants to sanctify me. And this book is a primary means of sanctification in my life. And look. Who in here doesn't love Todd Wagner and JP? They are fantastic preachers, but I tell you, there is no better preacher in your life than this book. Every morning, it has a message waiting for you, tailor-made just for you. And so as in a day and age where we can listen to podcasts whenever we want, do not forsake time in the Word. It is the best preacher you've got. From discipline comes the destiny. Weeds get turned into Psalm 1 trees. It's a sentiment, and I'll close with this. I won't read the passage, but Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13, paints that picture of going thorn bushes get turned into cypress trees. When what? When my word goes forth. My word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I set it out to accomplish. You want to leave a legacy? Read this book. It will accomplish what God intends to accomplish in your life. And it will take a daily process, but it is a beautiful process if you will give your heart to the book. Pray with me. Lord, I pray for the lives in this room. I pray for myself, Lord, that we might grow to be more like trees. If any of these men are like me, I feel I am just a baby sapling right now, but I long to be a Psalm 1 tree that provides rest and nourishment for others. Lord, give me a greater hunger for your word. Give these men a greater hunger for your word. And Lord, may us, as we look back after daily obedience and years of it, may we be encouraged by the legacy that has been written in this church, in this community, and in our lives. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, it's table time. Hop in there. We got about 40, 45 minutes. Get after it.